Well, turn, if you will, with me to the book of Proverbs. We will be traversing the Proverbs. It says starting in Proverbs 18, but we'll actually be also looking at Proverbs 17. So let's just say 17 through 27. And we'll be making that journey through those sections as we consider the topic of wisdom and our friends from the Proverbs. Reality is that we're all created relationally. That's who we are. We're not meant to be alone. I know there are some, very few, and I've met a few of these, that seem like they do better without being in relation to someone else. But overall, my experience is those who seem to like to be alone are among the unhappiest people that I have ever met. And since we are relational by nature, it's written into our DNA by God himself, then friendships are important to us. They're part of our lives. We need friends, the people that we're bound to out of mutual affection, especially as Christians. According to Scripture, not just any person, however, can fill that role. So there are what's considered in Scripture the right kind of friends, if you will. That's key, which requires discernment on our part. Proverbs 12:26 says, "The righteous should choose their friends carefully." We always wonder about those clear passages like that. Can it be that easy? And yet it is. Discernment, though, is crucial. The Bible and Proverbs speaks a lot about discernment of all areas of life, so it shouldn't surprise us that we need to be discerning when it comes to our friends. Now, with those of us who are in Christ, Jesus makes that case for friendship clear. "I no longer call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends. For all I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you." That is, he's made known all that we need to know. He's revealed all that we can handle. Solomon likes this concept of friends, and he says it this way in Ecclesiastes, "Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their toil. For if they fall, one will lift up the other. But woe to him who is alone when he falls and has not another to lift him up. A threefold cord is not quickly broken." Friends bound together, especially bound together in Christ, are not easily or quickly broken. And it's interesting, to be a believer requires that we are good friends. If we're to bring glory to God in everything that we do, well, our relationships is one of those areas. That good is what enables us to glorify him. So let's look at wisdom and our friends this morning so we can be a blessing to those around us and so we could glorify the Lord. Pray with me. Almighty God, this morning as we look at your word, as we traverse this section of the Proverbs, we are thankful for your word that continues to point out those things that are practical in our lives, things that we need to consider, things that we need to meditate on, things that we need to grab hold of and integrate into our lives. So this morning, Father, as we look at wisdom and our friends, I pray your blessing be upon us in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, friendship is not something that you normally hear from the pulpit or a sermon on friendship, or at least in my years sitting where you are. I can't remember hearing one or maybe many at all, if at all, on it. Normally, us preachers, we like to preach on things like sin. Well, certain preachers, I guess. We like to preach on repentance. We like to preach on justification, sanctification, even glorification. We like to preach on those things. And friendship is not always the topic of theological discussions. Because those in that elite section of theology consider friendship something secular. And yet, Jesus brings us back down to earth in chapter 15 of John specifically and calls us friends. In fact, he links friendship as one of those ultimate relationships binding us to God, like marriage and to God and one another. The combination of the importance he places on friendship, the importance he places on marriage, highlights that binding relationship we have with one another. In fact, in chapter 13 and 14, a friend is defined this way, or is understood this way, as one who loves as Jesus loves. And so we see Jesus as the model of that friendship. And if we really consider that, that sets the bar pretty high. If Jesus is the model for friendship, how well are we doing? Another reason to make sure we maintain in his word. And in his word this morning, we'll look at the quality of true friends from Proverbs 18 and Proverbs 20. The golden rule of friendship, Proverbs 17 and Proverbs 24, and that the fact that faithful friends seek to hold and build one another up in Proverbs 27, multiple verses there. So let's begin by considering the quality of true friends. Proverbs 18, 24. A man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Then flip over a couple chapters to Proverbs 20, verse 6. Many a man proclaims his own steadfast love, but a faithful man who can find. Now, most people today, and I'm not part of most people, but most people today have hundreds of friends. Whether it's on Facebook, whether it's on Instagram, I don't know, TikTok, whatever. But we've got all friends, whole lots of friends, but are they really friends? And before you roll your eyes, and I know I'm already too late because those who are on those mediums are already rolling their eyes at this old guy that's talking about this, and that's okay. But given the definition of a friend from the New Testament, we see one who loves as Jesus loves. Why would we give that term a friend to anybody else but the one who actually encapsulates that definition? Why do we give words like friendship and love away so easily? Why do we demean these words in the way we do? Just to make ourselves feel good? I don't know what the answer, I know what the answer is, but what is the answer in your heart? You know, most people in our lives are just that, people in our lives. We don't really seek relationships from most of the people in our lives unless they somehow make us feel good or they're fun to be around. Cynical, maybe. Truthful, yeah, I think so, for the most part. Proverbs 18:24 is clear. A man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. If you have hundreds of friends online and that's all you have nothing. I mean, you've heard all these answers, you know all that, but that's the reality. None of those people are going to come to your aid for the most part, unless they're defined a different way in a different context. And that's the other thing about hanging out with a lot of people. If they don't measure up to the friend, they're going to end up being just like we see at the beginning of this book, Lady Foolishness, and they'll lead you astray. They'll lead you to deny family. They'll lead you to question what you've always believed in. They'll lead you away from true friends who seek to build you up, not using you for your good, but for their good. The Bible's constantly pointing out who we shouldn't hang out with. Just one verse from Proverbs 22, 24, and 25. Make no friendship with a man given to anger, nor go with a wrathful man, lest you learn his ways and entangle yourself in a snare. Who we hang out matters. Who we hang out with matters. Because it shapes and molds who we are. Always. The Bible constantly reminds us, but those who stick closer than a brother in this sense are those who are only concerned with our well-being. While a brother may have his own issues, a true friend will stick to you like glue, one that's defined as one who loves in the way that Christ loved us. They will have your back. Even when you disagree, they'll have your back. They'll tell you face to face when they disagree. They won't go behind your back telling others. A friend is also someone you can trust with the important things. Remember what Jesus said about his friends? I call you friends because all I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. What does that really mean? Well, James puts it this way. Confess your sins to one another and pray for one another. Being that intimate with one another bolsters that friendship that loves as Christ loves. Friend, brother, and sister in Christ, those who love as Jesus loves, having others' welfare placed before themselves, that's in contrast to the wicked, the foolish, the simple, the scoffer, those who seek to separate loved ones and fellow believers physically and spiritually. Division is of the devil. Reconciliation, friendship, is a gift of God. I've been saying true friends as if that's some kind of special category. The Bible doesn't put the word true in front of it. It just uses the word friend. That's the special category that we need to be careful to keep in mind. We don't need to qualify it. We just need to use it and use it appropriately as it's defined in the New Testament, as it's defined here before us. But we are to be discerning as well concerning those closest to us. And that's what Proverbs 20, verse 6 is getting to. Many a man proclaims his steadfast love, but a faithful man who can find. Count up how many friends you have on your Facebook account. Those are the ones who he's talking about here. How many friends that tell you what you want to hear outside of Facebook and other things? Those are the ones he wants to talk about here. Who, but a faithful man who could find? What's that faithful man look like? Oh, he'll tell us what we want to hear if that's what we need to hear. But he's also that man that tells us what we don't want to hear, because all too often that's what we absolutely need to hear. We have a hard time with people like that. But if they're not pointing out our faults for their own good, then they have our best in mind. So the point is, it's easy to call someone friend. It's not so easy to live like the friend that the Bible describes. The friend that loves as Jesus loves. There are many in this life that mouth the words. But it appears, given the nature of the way friends are talked about in Scripture, they are rare. They're a rare treasure to have. And it's something we need to seek and hold on to when we find. You see, the quality of a friend, a fellow believer throughout Scripture, Paul tells us, keep this in our minds as well. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Love. Live in harmony with one another. Troy, how would you define harmony? As a music person, how would you define that term? Well, make it quick. We haven't got all day. Somebody answer the question. How would you define harmony? They blend, yes, to produce the right kind of music. And I like his definition of pleasant. because I grew up in the rock and roll era. It wasn't always pleasant, to be sure. But, okay, so harmony is crucial for us as friends as well. Lord gave us another example. He had many followers until he didn't. He had 12 disciples and only 11 of them were believers. He took 3 to the mountaintop and he only left his mother with 1. Does that mean he didn't love the other 11? He just had a different relationship with John. Next, interestingly enough, we have the golden rule of friendship. Now we're going to start with Proverbs 17 because that one is familiar to us a minute. Proverbs 17:17. A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Proverbs 24, flip over to 24. We're looking at verse 26 and 29. Whoever gives an honest answer kisses the lips. Verse 29. Do not say, I will do to him as he has done to me. I will pay the man back for what he has done. Now we see in this first one, we've talked about it when we talked about it under family obligation, but let's reconsider this one for just a minute. Does it define the people you call friends? A friend loves at all times. Is that what defines the people that you call friends or calls you friends? A brother is born for adversity. The first half seems to speak of choice. The second seems to speak of duty. And it was a very historically appropriate duty because if the brother did not come to the aid of their family, whether he liked them or not, he would be shamed for life. So either way, both of these are crucial when it comes to relationships, to be sure. But a friend loves at all times. Now, I don't know how you answered that question. Is that how your friend you could define your friends that way? But if you're having a hard time defining your friends that way, maybe we need to look at ourselves. Maybe our expectations are not very high. Or maybe we're not living that way either. Are we living out that definition of a friend? We talked about some of the qualities a few minutes ago of what it is to be a friend. Can we define ourselves that way? And before you start feeling all guilty, I'm going to let you just feel a little guilty because we all get caught up in our family and our activities and those kind of things, and we have a tendency to forget our friends. So guilty, and yet at the same time, finding a way to balance that out. Friends are in each other's business. I've said this many times before. Because they love each other, which goes along with Proverbs 24:26. Whoever gives an honest answer kisses the lips. Now, obviously, this is more than just a friend. This is just an acceptance of someone else. Not just anyone gets to kiss our lips. Not even in that culture. That was a sign of a very special love or a very special friendship. But that brings us to the golden rule part. Proverbs 24:29. Do not say, I will do to him as he has done to me. I will pay the man back for what he has done. Well, that's all well and good on one level. But do you remember the golden rule? Not the short version that we have memorized, but the golden rule that Jesus gave us. So, whatever you wish others would do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophet. And the law and the prophet can be summed up with what two laws? Come on. Love your neighbor as yourself, which applies mostly here. But those two laws are the main thrust of what we're doing here. Now, when we get back to this verse 29, it's important for us to recognize that this is actually written in a command. It's in an imperative mode or voice, commanding us to show love proactively. That means we are to do it first. We're not to wait for someone to say, "Do you love me?" We're not to wait to say, "Can you show me how much you love me?" We're not to wait. We're not to deal with someone who's loved us and then we'll love them back. We're not to wait. We are to love first. We are to put others before ourselves. That's what it means to be proactive. And before you think that maybe somehow this is Jesus' words are different from what Solomon has said, remember those first three words. Do not say. Do not say. That's crucial. Because in other words, you're waiting for someone to do something to you. Then you'll decide whether you want to do something to them. The golden rule is one in which the true measure of a friend, brothers and sisters in Christ, are measured. But this proverb also speaks to us concerning those who betray our love and trust. In this situation, this requires that we not seek revenge. I will do what they've done to me. I will pay them back what they've done to me. It's going to require us to wait on the Lord to sort this out. That's hard for us. Because when someone attacks us or we feel harmed, we want to take matters into our own hands. And how does that normally work out? Not too well, usually. Because we're not called to avenge or revenge ourselves. We are called to reconciliation. We're called to forgiveness. We're called to love. Peter tells us, all of you, how many is that? Everyone he's talking to, for how many generations so far? Quite a few. All of you have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, and a humble mind. Do not repay evil for evil. Do not repay reviling for reviling. But on the contrary, and this is the key part, bless. For to this you were called. Bless. Not bless out. Bless, be a blessing, that you may obtain a blessing. This is the golden rule of friendship. Lastly for today, that is, we see here in the Proverbs that faithful friends build one another up. Proverbs 27, verses 5 and 6. Better is open rebuke than hidden love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Profuse are the kisses of an enemy. And then, of course, one of the most familiar proverbs, iron sharpens iron, and one man sharpens another. But we're going to focus on the first two for a moment. Better is an open rebuke than hidden love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Profuse are the kisses of the enemy. Friends don't hesitate to rebuke one another out of genuine love and concern for one another. But what does it mean, this hidden love? A hidden love is you say you love someone, but you never point out to them when they're in trouble. You never point out to them when they're in the midst of some type of destructive sin. That's hidden love. In other words, not real. Not real. Verse 5 is sometimes also called the tough love proverb. Trouble is the way we define tough love. Tough love is doing whatever we can to make sure that the other person fixes their problem. That's not what's being talked about here. This verse enables us to recognize the need to love and to desire that this person repent and be reconciled to the Lord and to the church and to the people in his or her life. Because that's the only place it can be fixed. Without his strength, without his blood. For apart from him, we can do nothing. So love is pointing out to them their need to be reconciled. Not running willy-nilly into the sin, but to be pulled back if you have to. Tough love is in the fact that they're hearing the same message from multiple different people with the hopes that they will finally listen to the Spirit's work in their life. People who are faithful are the words of a friend. Profuse are the kisses of an enemy. And we realize the truth, 27:9 is an interesting verse as well. Oil and perfume make our heart glad, and the sweetness of a friend comes with his earnest counsel. Now, I've reached a point in my age where I don't appreciate oils and perfumes like I did when I was younger. But the second part of this is crucial. Someone who loves us, someone we have trusted in the past, someone who has always shown that they have our best in mind, that is someone that we need to listen to, whether we like what they're saying or not. That is someone that we need to not just listen to, but we need to filter through what they're saying to make sure that we get to the truth of what they're saying. Because they've always been truthful before. So just because it hurts doesn't mean there's not truth in there. It's crucial for us to recognize better is the open rebuke. The sweetness of a friend comes from his earnest counsel. Earnest counsel. Urgent. Clear. Loving. And a counsel that has not stopped being given until there's nobody else to hear the words. But in seeing the best for someone and their struggles, I'm often brought back to this very familiar passage, Proverbs 27:17. Iron sharpens iron as one man sharpens another. Or, interesting, the Hebrew could be read this way, iron sharpens iron as one man sharpens the face of another. You know, we always talk about being rubbed the wrong way. Well, this is being rubbed the right way. As I said before, friends don't always speak what we want to hear. And this is the reason why. Iron sharpens iron. Now think of that image. Get two pieces of steel together and you put pressure on them to try to sharpen them, what happens? Sparks, friction, because you have to knock off all that which makes the blade unsharp. Constantly, constantly going back and forth. That's a sign of fellowship, by the way, because you have to be together as much as possible to stay sharp. It's not about abusing someone with your words. It's not about fighting with someone. It's about lovingly, constantly encouraging one another. Lovingly, constantly rebuking one another. Lovingly, constantly confessing your sins to one another. And lovingly and consciously praying together. These are ways that we constantly are fellowshipping in the way God expects for us to fellowship, that we might sharpen our blades. And when there's a cord wrapped around us, that third cord, there's nothing that the church can't accomplish. Iron sharpens iron. And it gets hot if you do it the right way as well. I could do a whole sermon on that one, but we won't. We'll move on. As I said at the beginning, man was not meant to be alone. We were created to be in relationship with the God of the universe and with one another and with his creation. All three of those things we were created to be in relationship with. And at the fall, all of that was affected. But friendship was created and ordained by God for his people so that we can intimately relate to one another, so that we can be mutually beneficial and mutually blessed by one another. Maybe preachers do a disservice when I myself and others don't preach on friendship enough, because perhaps that limits the definition of love, enabling us to cheapen those words, friendship and love, so much, rather than putting emphasis on how important that friendship is with the God of all the universe, that friendship is with brothers and sisters in Christ, right up there with preaching on sin and repentance and justification, so that we come away with an understanding of how important those words are, that we might continue to bless one another, that we might continue to live by that golden rule of friendship that we're bound to, and that we might find and seek ways to build one another up on a regular and continuous basis. Friends, wisdom and our friends, they go together. And I'm so thankful for that. Let's pray. Father, we're thankful for your continued grace, your presence with us, your word that continues to remind us of the simplest things that we take advantage of on a regular basis. Forgive us of that and give us the power and the strength through your Holy Spirit to continue to move forward, not just to seek out friendships, but to build on the ones that we have, that we might be a blessing to one another, that as we sharpen each other, that we would be the force that's required to move the world. We thank you, Father, for this. In Jesus' name, amen.